So you know I'm mad at you today.
You are? What did I do?
You insulted my religion yesterday.
I did? What's your religion?
I don't know.
How did I do it?
You just insulted it.
Well, I know what your religion is.
I don't have one.
You don't have one. You are...
Hey, by the way,
let's talk about the definition of religion.
Anyone's been listening to these last two shows...
What do you mean, if?
If. You know, they might have turned us off. If you've been affected by these last two shows, we want to hear from you. So you will give us a call. Whoever calls today.
What are you going to
do? First caller in each city.
What are you going to give them, a used car?
All right, for those in Indianapolis, for those in Pittsburgh, for those in Scranton-Wilkes-Barre, for those, let's go with Omaha, Nebraska, for those in Lincoln, and for, let's go, Albuquerque. Let's pick those cities.
Okay.
For those of you listening there, the first one to call in each city is going to get a free copy of Martin's book, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God. If you've listened to those programs and you enjoyed them and they were thought-provoking, you give me a call at 847-312-4676 and you get a free copy of that book.
Winner must accept prize. Now...
Yes.
Yeah.
Where are we going today?
Well, I had a shout-out to somebody in Pittsburgh.
Who?
Actually, two people.
All right.
Nick and Melissa Costa listening to us.
Are they related to Dick Costa?
In Pittsburgh. I don't know. I don't think so, but I don't know.
I'm thinking of Bob Costas.
Yeah, you're thinking of Bob Costas. You're off in the left field. You have a form of devoutness.
All right, just continue.
Clyde Pilkington, I mentioned that he wrote.
Yes.
He is getting together a book on 2 Timothy. This is a vital book to understand.
I bet you Clyde is listening to us right now as he is packing up his book, taping the box.
And mailing it to us.
He's getting that book ready to go as he's listening.
Because we want to talk about this because 2 Timothy talks about the apostasy. Paul predicted this apostasy. An apostasy is a falling away. That's what the word means.
Yes, it is.
From stand. It means from stand. And you can't apostatize unless you've once been standing.
Yep.
You have to be in some kind of God place.
An unbeliever
and to fall away
can't
from
apostatize.
It. Right. Now, this happened shortly after Paul departed the scene. Paul came teaching grace. People did not like his message, and it was not Howard Stern that gave Paul trouble. It was the
religious people,
the
pastors,
Kennedys, the
pastors, teachers, and bishops.
It was the Jews that beat Paul.
Yeah.
In fact, when he was in Jerusalem, after they thought he had brought Titus into the sanctuary, the Romans saved him from the Jews. They were ready to tear him to pieces there in Acts chapter 17, was it?
Yeah.
And the Romans saved him. And the Romans escorted him safely to Rome to avoid having the Jews kill him. So it was his own people that hated him. And wow, what do you know? This is a weird coincidence. It's the same thing that happened to our Lord, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It was the religious establishment that crucified him. Well, at least it wasn't that in the old days and in the days of the prophets. Oh, geez, same thing there.
Yeah.
In fact, Jesus told
him. Hey, guess what? Today, it's completely different.
It can't be that way today.
It can't be
that
way today.
It can't be that way
today. There's no possible way the Christian establishment would ever persecute Christ or Paul.
They would never persecute the true faith, never.
No.
Our Lord told the Pharisees that if the Pharisee, he said some nasty things to them, called them a brood of vipers, hypocrites. And
that wasn't very Christian.
And they said, hey, look, don't say that about us. He said, your people, you crucified the prophets, speaking of their ancestors. He said, hey, sorry to tell you, they said to him, if we had lived in that day, we would not have crucified the prophets.
Not.
He said, oh, no. He said, well, in fact, you would have done more than crucify him, because in a week you're going to crucify me. You're going to kill me in a week. And they did. And so, while that could never happen today, the religious establishment would never persecute true belief. It just wouldn't happen.
Never.
Yes, well, it is happening, and 2 Timothy is a key book to understand, because many people set up the church system. You know, they have the, Paul talks about appointing elders and deacons and all these positions in 1 Timothy.
Yep.
By the time he writes 2 Timothy, the apostasy has already come to even that early church, and Paul tells them to get the heck out, and that's what we read yesterday. Those who have a form of devoutness but deny the power, that is the most dangerous thing in the world. And we listed all those sins, the thrashers and the selfish, fond of money, ostentatious, proud. Paul saves the worst for last, Sheridan.
Yeah.
At the very end, he says, fond of their own gratification rather than fond of God, having a form of devoutness. Who in the world has a form of devoutness except people who look to be devout? You can't say that Howard Stern has a form of devoutness. You can't say that the world has a form of devoutness. At least they're honest. This has to apply to religion.
Religion is right. Paul.
It has to.
Paul in Philippians chapter 3 says this. He says, become imitators together of me and be noting those. Now notice that he says, note them. Be noting those who are walking thus, who are following Paul, according as you have us for a model. For, here's why we have to follow Paul, those who follow Paul. He says, for many, notice the word many, many are walking, of whom I often told you, yet now am lamenting also as I tell it. And we're lamenting here, who are enemies of the cross of Christ. Now notice what it doesn't say there. It doesn't say they're enemies of God. It doesn't say they're enemies of Christ. They're enemies of the cross of Christ. What it speaks of.
The shame.
The shame of it.
The humiliation.
And also the accomplishments of it.
People are very willing to follow God as long as they don't have to look weird doing it.
Notice this. He goes, whose consummation is destruction. Paul is not talking about the heathens. This is destruction of those who are professing, those who believe in God and Christ.
Many are going to say to our Lord in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do marvelous
things? Are we talking about their
name?
Eternal destinies, Martin?
No.
What are we talking about?
We're talking about where they're going to be during the oncoming glorious
exactly.
ages that God has. And many said, Lord, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? In your name, do mighty works in your name. And he said, depart from me, workers of lawlessness. How could that be, Dan,
yeah.
that somebody doing something in his name? I thought that as long as you had the name of Christ, that it was okay.
Notice what else it says. Whose God is their bowels?
That sounds very anatomical.
It sure does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
What does it mean, though? They worship their emotions, their gratifications.
The bowels is a figure of speech for the inner feelings.
Yeah, and it's a religious thing. Remember what happened when the children of Israel, not the heathen, not the Canaanites, when the children of Israel, Moses up on the mountain, what were they doing? They were dancing naked before a calf, right? Mm. What did Moses do with it? He ground it into powder, put it in water, and had the people do what?
Drink it.
Drink it. Why? Because their God is their bowels. You see the point? That's
yeah.
the picture. This is a religious sin. He goes on, who to the terrestrial are disposed. They're only disposed to what's here. Fleshly things, soulish things. And it says they glory in their shame. To glory in this religious stuff is shameful.
Somebody told me that I should go to church for the social aspect.
Yeah.
Martin, you need to get a life.
Yeah.
You need to be with fellow believers. You need to go to a church. And I contend to you that the number one priority of a church should not be fellowship. It should be teaching. Paul was very concerned about teaching. I mean, to say very concerned is to soft sell it. He lived for it. He said, those things that you heard from me, he's telling Timothy, I'm preempting our future study in 2 Timothy,
yeah.
but those things that you heard from me, pass on to other people. Those things you heard from me. And in Colossians, Paul talks to the believers there, and he says, these things you heard from Epaphras, there's things that you hear. It's teaching. It's teaching. And yet, teaching is like third thing down the tier, fourth, fifth, sixth thing down the tier in these churches, because as we've said before, that causes arguments. You don't want to ruffle any feathers.
Yeah. Well,
you have to be politically correct, and let's just not fight about
it. Hold on. They all say they teach.
It's all peace.
They all say they teach.
I know, but it's all about peace.
They get the superstar up there to give a 40-minute lecture, which is all sweet, nice, love, sweet, positive messages. The thing is, when we say teaching, we mean scripture teaching. Not just using the Bible to sprinkle upon your oratory, or not using the Bible to sprinkle about your message on relationships. It makes me sick.
Yeah, that's not about God. If you put God first, He will heal your relationship.
When's the last time? Now, I'm going to give you a challenge. When's the last time any of you out there who are churchgoers, when's the last time you sat in there? First of all, I don't like the system itself. The whole pastorate system
could have fooled me.
Is unbiblical, period, okay? But when is the last time you sat in a church setting? I'm not even going to ask people to go to a mega church because it doesn't happen. say a small, even a small country, when's the last time you heard your teacher, your whoever you consider your pastor or whatever, when's the last time you heard him expound Romans 3 and talk about justification and the accomplishments of Christ? When's the last time you heard a teacher of the Word of God in a church setting go line by line through Romans 6 and tell the believers how right now they are positionally dead to sin, sin is no longer an issue, you are holy in Christ, it's yours, and you reckon it. So when's the last time somebody went through Romans 6 and taught these things? Verse by verse, line by line, explained it, taught these things, and when's the last time they went to Ephesians and talked about the body of Christ's celestial allotment? And all these great teachings, you won't have it.
It doesn't happen because it's politically correct. We compared the political world to the religious world earlier this week, and there's a political correctness. There's a religious correctness as well. And you just don't dare rock the boat. But we talk about love. Where's your love, Dan? You guys sure don't sound like you're very loving this week. I thought our Lord said you're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself. Well, me personally, I'm tough on myself. I work out. I try to eat right. I exercise. I'm hard on my body, and by doing that, I love my body. I love my children, but I also disciplined them when they were small because I love them. And love is tough. Love isn't this emotion. Love is telling you that there are serious consequences to just getting your doctrine out of the fast food window and not looking into these things. If you think you're safe in the organized institution, and that we're a little bit on the radical side, you are not safe at all. As we said before, God is coming to destroy the religions of this world, and if you're there, you're going down with it.
Let's repeat that. At the second coming of Jesus Christ, 2 Thessalonians 1, Revelation chapter 19, he destroys religious systems as well as political ones.
It's both in the book of Revelation.
Both.
Nobody sees that in the book of Revelation.
The book of Revelation is two parts, one political, one religious, one connected with the throne, one connected with the altar.
That's right.
And that is an important distinction. We always look at the political side, but there is a religious part that's just as powerful. The man of sin in the book of Revelation demands worship as well as having a political figure in the book of Revelation. It's religious and political. They go together, and beware. That's why today we don't mix the two.
We don't want religion and politics mixed.
No.
Church and state should be separate. You can thank God that they're going to be separate, but we are on the brink of a joining of church and state. It's in the works right now, and you're sitting in its pew.
And God help us if we stay in it. This is Dan Sheridan. You can find me at crossandthrone.com and go get my series on Romans there for free.
I'm Martin Zenner at martinzenner.com. We're telling you this stuff because we love you.
That's right.
Faithful are the wounds of a friend.
That's right.
We'll be back tomorrow, and we'll see you then.